Our hymns and our readings and our order of service is printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin with our first hymn on page 2, Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds. I invite you to rise for the last verse of that hymn. We follow our order of service that's printed for you in the service bulletin. We begin on the top of page 3. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We celebrate this resurrection day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Upon the hill, the cross stands empty. Morning light breaks upon the empty tomb. Christ is risen. Alleluia. New life is awakened. Our own resurrection is assured. God has given a living hope, an eternal hope, to a dying world. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. O Lord, prepare us for worship as we confess our sins. Dear Heavenly Father, we have come together in your presence to hear your holy word and to worship you by celebrating the resurrection of your Son. O holy and righteous God, you alone can make us clean. Your mercies never end. They are new every morning. You have told us in your word, we were buried with Christ through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. With your command and your promise in mind, therefore, we come to you to confess our sins. O holy and merciful Father, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But at your gracious invitation, I come to you. And for the sake of my Lord Jesus Christ and his suffering and death, I plead, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Having heard your confession, I, as a called servant of Christ, assure you that your gracious Heavenly Father has heard your prayer. And by the authority and command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. During our Easter service, it is tradition for us to read through the Easter accounts as they are recorded for us in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so you find that harmony of the Gospels printed for you in your bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 4. During the readings, the congregation is asked to read their parts as well, and we'll be singing some Easter hymns. We begin with a section, Jesus' Resurrection from the Dead. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, that they might come and anoint him. And now as the first day of the week began to dawn, while it was still dark, they came to see the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door of the tomb, and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other women came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, for it was very large. When Mary Magdalene saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb, she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." The other women entered the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, one young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side. And the women were alarmed and afraid, and bowed their faces to the earth. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid or alarmed, for I know that you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen, as he said. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. And he said to them, 'But go quickly and tell his disciples and Peter that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you, "Behold, I have told you."' So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb with fear and great joy, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And they ran to report it to his disciples." The visit of Peter and John. Peter therefore arose and went out, and the other disciple, and they ran to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. Stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and the handkerchief that had been around his head not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes, and Peter marveled to himself at what had happened. We continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
Jesus' appearance to Mary Magdalene. Now when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples who had been with him, as they mourned and wept, that she had seen the Lord, and he had spoken these things to her. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Jesus' appearance to the other women. And as the other women went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. We continue with our next hymn. You may be Jesus' appearance to the disciples behind closed doors. Now as they said these things, when it was evening, on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came himself and stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be with you." He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, but they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." We continue with our next hymn. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed. It begins on the bottom of page 10. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our next hymn can be found in your TAN worship supplements, and the hymn we'll be singing is hymn 728, Christ is Living. Thank you. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our ever-living Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Easter Sunday is taken from the Gospel of Luke. We read chapter 24, verses 4 through 8. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothing. The women were terrified and bowed down with their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has been raised. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. If you are looking for groceries, would you drive to an empty lot and wonder, where's the meat department? If you're looking for the airport, would you drive to the beach and wonder, where are all the airplanes? If you are going to a friend's house or maybe a family member's house today for Easter dinner, would you drive to a cemetery and wonder, where's everyone at? Of course not. Why would you look for groceries in an empty lot? Why would you look for an airport on a beach? And why would you look for the living among the dead? That, of course, is the question the angels asked the women who were looking for Jesus early that first Easter Sunday morning. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Maybe to us that sounds like a little bit of a silly question. It's perfectly understandable why the women were looking for Jesus here. In fact, if you go back just a few verses to the previous chapter in Luke's Gospel, we're told that these women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed after Joseph of Arimathea, and they observed the tomb, how his body was laid there. They saw him get buried in that tomb just the night before. So it's exactly where they thought Jesus would be. They saw him die. They saw him buried. They saw Joseph wrap up his body and put it in the tomb. Where else would they think Jesus was going to be? Well, remember the definition of irony that we've been considering during our Lenten series this year, the ironies of Jesus' passion. And we define irony as the result that is the complete opposite of what might be expected. A result that is the complete opposite of what might be expected. Well, the women came to the tomb expecting what? They came expecting to find a dead Jesus, not a living Savior. They certainly weren't expecting to run into two dazzling angels at the tomb telling them that Jesus is alive. But like I said, that's completely understandable. If we were in their shoes, we'd probably have done the exact same thing. But at the same time, they should have known better. How can you say that? Really, they should have known better? Well, listen again to the words of the angels. The angels' words are an incredible message of joy, but they're also a rebuke. If not a gentle rebuke, they're a rebuke of their lack of faith and their lack of understanding. Again, the angels said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has been raised. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." He had told them this. In fact, Jesus, knowing how we are, he told them many times. Again and again, he told them all the way back to Galilee, "I will suffer, I will be crucified, and on the third day I will rise again." You can look up Jesus' words for yourself in Matthew, in Mark, and Luke. We have at least four places where he says these very words to his disciples. Maybe they thought Jesus was speaking in parables or being symbolic. Whatever the reason was, the problem was that these women and his disciples never understood what Jesus meant. At least up to this point, they had not understood what he meant. They couldn't comprehend or believe his simple, straightforward words. Okay, well, they should have believed his words, right? But besides that, on top of that, what had just happened a few weeks earlier? Probably Jesus' most famous miracle, and the one that drew an enormous crowd of people to follow him. He had just raised his good friend Lazarus from the dead, a man who'd been dead not 3 days, but 4 days. He'd raised Lazarus from the dead and proved that he had power over death. So these women and the rest of the disciples had every reason to believe. They should have trusted Jesus' words. They should have believed his promises. They should have come to the tomb that day expecting to find a living Savior. But instead, their reason, their doubts, their sadness, their own sinful weakness brought them to the tomb that day looking for a dead Jesus. I think we can all identify with these humble women. These humble women who did love their Lord deeply, can't we? We love him. We believe in him. But oftentimes our faith is weak too. Our faith is weak, especially when we hurt. At times when life seems impossible. When death is looking us in the face, either our own death or the death of a loved one. The natural response to us is not usually to believe Jesus' promises, but just to try and cope. And maybe cope in some ways that just aren't healthy or good. Our natural response is to wrap ourselves in sorrow and give in to despair. Or at best, just to try to put one foot in front of the other and just get through it. We can easily leave Jesus and his promises out of the picture. In that way, are these women very different from us? And the answer is they are not. When they looked into the tomb and were looking for the Lord, they were not expecting to see a living Savior. We are like them, and so the angels owe us a bit of a rebuke this morning too, don't they? But remember what they said in the very next breath about Jesus. They said, "He is not here, he is risen." In his great love, Jesus did what we think is impossible. He died on the cross, paid for all of our sins, and then rose from the dead. And because of that, now death is not the end. Death is not the victor. All those who die trusting in Jesus will rise and live forever with him. Even if their faith is weak, like it was for these women, on that first Easter morning. Day by day, that power of the resurrection, the gospel itself, is a living force that changes our hearts. The gospel is the source of strength for our faith, especially on days when life hurts and when death comes. All too often, when our faith is weak, when we are dissatisfied, when we feel guilty and ashamed, we tend to look for Jesus, but sometimes look for him in all the wrong places. And the great irony of the resurrection is that Jesus is found not in places where people expect him to be. Instead, he's found right where he said he would be. He's found in his word, in his gospel, in the sacraments, in baptism and the Lord's Supper. We find him in the word that is preached to us. We find him in the Bible that we read each day. We find him in our baptisms, where he's washed away all of our sins. And we find him in the Lord's Supper, where he gives us, in his own words, his body and his blood for our forgiveness. But that's not the natural or the normal place where we would naturally go and look for him. It's not. At times, even we look for him in the wrong places, don't we? We want to find him in our own hearts. And unfortunately, we often have a tendency to look inward when we should look outward, and look outward when we should look inward. We look for Jesus here. Maybe we'll find him in our feelings. We feel a need for Jesus to speak to us in some other way, maybe in the world around us, or to reveal himself in some sort of miracle that we can really see, that we can really observe and see for ourselves. But when we do this, we're essentially looking for the living among the dead. We need to remember the words of the angels in our text. Hear those angels' words that point to the words that Jesus spoke. Remember what he told you. The last verse of our text tells us that the women did exactly that. They remembered Jesus' words. So suddenly it all came flooding back to them. With that simple expression, Luke shows the power of the Holy Spirit, that he can create, he can strengthen, and he can clarify our faith. And what was it that these women remembered? They remembered the gospel. They remembered Jesus' promises. They remembered his promise of everlasting life. That is where the power is. And when these women remembered it, they believed it. When they remembered Jesus' promise and began to understand that he had kept that great promise, they began to trust in all of God's promises. Remember what he told you. Remember Jesus' words and his promises. Remember his resurrection. Because Jesus' return back to life brings us and our hearts back to life. We don't want to look for him among the dead, but he did have to look for us in the spiritual graveyard. Our hearts were dead in sin. He had to come and raise our hearts back to life, back to faith, through the power of his word. The resurrection is more powerful than sin and than death itself. It creates new life. It changes who we are and what we are. And the truth is, on our own, we would only look for Jesus in the wrong places. And so he came to us. He comes to us every time we come to communion. Every time we remember the gift that he gave us in baptism. And every time we gather here to listen to the word of God, to hear the gospel, whether it's here or reading it for ourselves in our homes. And so today we come to Jesus' house not looking for the living among the dead. But we come to see the living Savior. To rejoice in the fact that his tomb was empty. To rejoice in the fact that the women got to hear the greatest proclamation of all. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Jesus kept his promise. So we don't have to go to a cemetery to find him. We don't need to look inside ourselves to find him. We don't need to look in the world around us to find him either. He's right here where he said he would be. In his word, in the gospel. And in his word, he tells us, reminds us, he is risen. He is alive. And because he is alive, God promises us that we will be alive forever with him in heaven. God promises us all of our sins have been washed away. God has accepted that payment that Jesus made on the cross, which we commemorated just a few days ago. Because he is alive, we already have new life through faith in him. Let's rejoice in that new life now and look forward to that eternal life with him in heaven. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entry of our church. Are there any special prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in our Easter prayer. O precious Savior Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you that by your suffering on the cross, you endured death and even the very agony of hell for us, and that by your death you have made peace between us and God. But on this day, on Resurrection Day, we especially thank and praise you for your resurrection from the dead, because it proves that you are God's Son. It seals your sacrifice as the full payment for our sins. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, we praise you with our hearts and our lives for all that you have so graciously done to earn our salvation. As you were raised up and glorified in your body, raise us up by the Spirit from spiritual deadness to trust in you with all of our hearts and to serve you in godliness all of our days. Fill our hearts with joy as we long for the day of your glorious reappearing when you will raise all the dead from their graves. Comfort us with the knowledge that on that day, our bodies will arise in the likeness of your own glorious resurrected body. Dear Savior, we need you every minute of every day. We pray that you would be with us and shower upon us your promised grace and blessing. Cause your message of salvation, your gospel, to spread throughout the world. O Jesus, our beloved friend, whose continual presence has been promised to us, be by our side, especially in times of trouble. Give us strength to bear troubles and wisdom to overcome them. Grant us grace to endure every sorrow that comes our way, and courage to cope with every disappointment. You are the help of the helpless. You are the one who lifts up those who are fallen. And therefore, we ask that you would comfort and relieve us according to our individual needs. As we travel the hard road of suffering and sorrow, may we learn to love you more and eagerly await the treasures you have reserved for us in heaven. All of this we ask to the glory of your saving name, O triumphant Christ, who lives and reigns forever. We pray this in your name as we pray together now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for this morning is hymn 461, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. The choir is asked to come up front to sing the first four verses, and the congregation is asked to join us then in verses 5-8. If you would please rise for verse 8 when we get to the last verse. Please be seated. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. A blessed Easter to all of you. And on behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. And for those of you who are former members of St. Stephen, a special welcome to you and thank you for coming to worship our Savior with us again. We pray that you would be blessed this Easter season and that you would come and worship Jesus, our living Savior, with us in the near future. Following our service today, there is an egg hunt for the children that will take place in the back after the service today. And then following that, we'll have our Easter brunch in the fellowship hall. There is seating in the fellowship hall area and also in the picnic area to my right outside the doors. Please join us if you're able to stay for that today. This week, our school is on Easter break. We'll resume again Tuesday, April 9th. So we're off from Monday to Monday for Easter break. Next Sunday, our worship services are back to their usual schedule, 9 a.m. Bible class here in Mountain View and worship service with communion at 10 a.m. The East Bay service will be at 1 p.m. with communion and then Bible class at 2 p.m. Check your mailboxes or pick one up in the church entry. There are calendars for the month of April. A big thank you to all who help with all the things that it takes to prepare for an Easter service, an Easter brunch. The decorations look great. I'm just going to assume the food tastes great because I smelled some of it while you guys were coming in today. And I wasn't hungry until someone walked by me with a dish and I went, oh, well, I'm hungry now. So I'm glad that we have brunch today and not just like a late lunch. And also those who are helping with the Easter egg hunt, thank you for all your efforts and all the work that was put in this weekend. Are there any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.